Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter, the home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. The Suns sweep the Nuggets in four.
And the Suns are going to move on to the Western Conference Finals.
Bickley and Murata talk Suns Nuggets now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a feeling that's, you know, kind of hard to put the words. You know, you always reflect, you know, after a game like this, or after you close this series out, you sit back and reflect a little bit and think about what you just talked about, you know, what we've been through as an organization and as a team. And even the short time that Monty's been here, just, you know, watching the culture develop and watching, you know, players get better every day and people put their hard hats on and come in and work every day. So, you know, it's a beautiful sight to see, you know, to see hard work pay off.
That is Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns. He was the one that was doubted on whether or not the playoffs would be too big a stage for him since he'd never played there before. He's also the Devin Booker who now in two closeout games is averaging 40.5 points on the road.
Wow.
47 against the Lakers in game six, 34 yesterday in the closeout win over the Nuggets.
He is very much ready for this. Mm-hmm. You can tell there has not been a situation in the postseason yet where he's gotten the ball and looked tentative, looked hesitant, looked overwhelmed. None of it has been too big for him. Not that we really thought it would be. I think most people thought, yeah, this guy has had a lot of training for this moment.
Yeah, again, I was bullish on what I had seen from Devin Booker, but you never truly know until it happens. And you're right. Again, that's something that's gone better than according to plan. We open up the phone lines here on this Suns Monday, 602-260-9870. Suns beat the Nuggets 125-18. They sweep them out of the playoffs. They move on. And I don't get to kick back and watch what happens with Utah and the Clippers to see who they'll face in the Western Conference Finals. Want to hear your thoughts on all of it here at 602-260-9870. We'll start in Gilbert, and the one and only Kiernan leads us off here on Bickley and Murata. What's up, Kiernan?
My brother. Nice in the WCF, baby. Are you kidding me? Right?
Oh, Monty Williams. No, let me start over. Jamal, or James Jones, right? I almost said Jamal Crawford.
Jamal Crawford.
James Jones to Monty Williams. Oh, my gosh, I sound like Gamble. James Jones, Monty Williams, all the way down, right? Adrian, you know, anyways, all the way down. It is, I love what Chris said yesterday. It's not me, it's about us. And I tweeted that out immediately because I love that. I got almost emotional between that and watching all of the Suns fans meet our team here in Phoenix when they landed. I'm not even kidding you. I know it sounds kind of weird, but I actually got, like, warm and tingly inside. And so, you know, it's really cool, but it's all the way from the top. We got to remember that. Monty, everyone knows he got robbed from the Cody. I mean, that was ridiculous. But I'm so excited. I'm running out of breath. I've been outside working. It's 120. Oh, my gosh. But I love you guys. I love the Suns. But here's what I really hope happens. I know Monty's smart. Let the guys celebrate today. Let them rest today. But don't let them get cold. Keep them busy. Keep them practicing. I don't care. They should be back to work tomorrow. That's what I would do. Love you guys. Love the Suns. Love Arizona sports. Yeah, baby.
Thanks, Kiernan.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're gonna. I think Monty's gonna have a nice schedule for him.
Yeah,
this week.
Listen. The love in the things I've seen on social media about the fans waiting and then DA popping his head out of his sunroof or his moonroof or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That is great stuff. That's when you know that your team and your community has taken the next step.
Yeah, I mean, I keep telling this story about 1990 when the mm-hmm. Suns beat the Lakers in L.A. and they came back, and me and my buddies in the middle of the week, midnight, go back, you know, go to the airport to try to greet them. They never came through the terminal. There were thousands of people there that night. Thousands of people.
Really?
Seeing those images, and I don't know how many people were ultimately there, you know, waiting for them at the executive terminal.
Yeah.
But just seeing those images and everybody wearing their purple and orange and holding the signs and doing the chants and just the love that you see. You mentioned
amazing.
D.A. Jay Crowder with a big smile on his face as he was driving through and high-fiving fans, man. You're right. It's been way too long to get back to this point, but it's really satisfying when you get there.
This team in the city is in a very special place right now.
It is. We keep it going. 602-260-9870 out to Fresno, California. Rick is up next here on Bickley and Murata. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing good.
Moved to Fresno 3 years ago. Been a a longtime Arizona native, born in Nogales. Just following the Suns since 93 and just happy where they are. And I like the way they approach the game with the business-like attitude, you know, never being too cocky. You know, they just handle business and just happy that they're rolling, you know, and I hope they continue this to, you know, the Western Conference Finals and finally a champion finals appearance for sure, because we deserve it. We Suns fans deserve it waiting this long, and that's pretty much what I got to say. And I'm proud of Chris Paul, the leadership he's brought, and, you know, the scoring of Booker. It's just amazing how we've handled business for sure.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it. 602-260-9870. George is in Tempe. He's up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hey, George.
Yeah, you know, I called in on Saturday at 11, and you guys didn't answer. What's up with that? You know,
yeah,
game, you know, I want to just jump back to Game 3 for a second, for real. That was the most boring, and not that I didn't love it. I loved it. It was fun to watch, but it was the most boring, foregone conclusion playoff game I think I've ever seen in my life. It was never a moment where the Nuggets felt like they were in it or had a chance, and it really set up what happened yesterday. You know, when Jokic got thrown out, and you said it, Vic, before, he's good, he's solid. You never said he's great. He's not the MVP. He didn't play like an MVP.
No.
And when he got thrown out, and you said it, Vinny, in your tweet, and I was texting a friend of mine at the same time, they played better without him, and that wasn't because he riled them up. It's because they played better without him because they can. You know, this team, the Suns played amazing team defense. They have throughout the whole playoffs. It feeds this egoless offense they have. And Jokic never adjusted to playoff officiating, not to the level and the way it's called, with that, you know, the extra level of physicality. And all he did was whine. He looked like a whiner. And DeAndre Ayton, even though we all know Chris Paul's the MVP, if DeAndre Ayton keeps playing against bigs the way he's playing right now, I think this team can go anywhere it wants, especially now that it looks like Brooklyn's out of it.
You really can't argue with that. I honestly believe that Nikola Jokic losing his mind yesterday was more directly related to DeAndre Ayton than just general frustrations, because I don't believe the Nuggets really thought they were going to go much further in this postseason. But I also don't think Nikola Jokic thought he was going to get marginalized the way he was by D.A.
Look, I know Anthony Davis didn't finish the first series, but, you know, DeAndre Ayton did a nice job on him, did a nice job on Jokic, two completely different types of players. I think what started out as mutual respect and admiration, and I still think it's there from Jokic to Ayton, but that slowly morphed into frustration because of the job that Ayton was able to do. And again, there was a lack of adjustments. I was reading an article from our sister station, 104.3 The Fan in Denver, that points that out. You know, when Ayton left yesterday's game and Jokic is going against Šarić, they gave the ball once to Jokic. It was just weird strategy altogether. But do have to hand it to DeAndre Ayton. Nikola Jokic shot 47.7% from the floor and shot a total of 19 free throws in four games, which, you know, it's not a tiny number, but it's not as bad as it could have been either. And a lot of that had to do with the defensive positioning of DeAndre Ayton, who frustrated Jokic this whole series.
The Devin Booker used to always deal with the empty calorie criticism of his points.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Nikola Jokic felt like to me.
Especially on Friday night.
It did not feel,
when you go 32-20 and 10 and you lose that handily.
Yeah. It did not feel like he made much of an impact at any point in that series. And I think that's what blew his mind. And I think DA has a lot to do with that. Yeah, his growth is paramount to what this team has been able to do. There's no question about that.
Absolutely.
And if he keeps playing like this, this team has got, well, we all know now that they've got a legitimate chance to win it all. I think everybody believes that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
No, you should. Yeah. You absolutely should. Going back to George's point before we move on, he said he didn't feel like there was ever a time in that game where the Nuggets were actually in the game. I didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
They played with increased intensity and energy. And they made it interesting for a stretch there where it got pretty tense. At least that's the way I feel. Did you feel the same way?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like that 30-point lead against the Lakers that when they started coming back, it just kind of...
It's exactly, it just exactly how fierce. I felt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
like,
that was...
Oh, are we going to blow this? And if we do, how will we ever recover from this? How could we ever recover from not beating a Nuggets team after losing Nikola Jokic to ejection in the third quarter?
But the fact is, it never was a one-possession game.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. 602-260-9870 is the phone number. We continue. We go out to Phoenix and talk to Christian next here on Bickley and Murata. What's going on, Christian?
Yeah, I'm a great fan of the show and all that.
Thanks.
So what I think about the Suns after watching this is that this team is built for not just now and possible run right now. I think they're built for the future. I think the Monty's usage of the end of the bench has been perfect all season because those are going to become valuable key points that you can use to improve behind DeAndre next year. And overall, I mean, just the way that they handled the Nuggets was just amazing. And I really think that even with a fully healthy Nets team that we can go blow to blow with the Nets. So, all right, guys. Thank you. Have a great one.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it, Christian. The end of the bench, yes, but I think most, well, a big share of the credit goes to the starting five. They were 1 point away, Bick, from Jay Crowder finished with 9 points yesterday. He has one more point in that game. That's four straight games of every starter being in double figures the whole series.
Yeah. Yeah, and that to me is the best indicator and barometer of where the Suns team is emotionally.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, to come that close to accomplishing that.
Yeah, I mean that's incredible to have that.
And we've gone this long without talking about Jay Crowder, who had it was a weird game.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. He only shot 3 three-pointers. He made 2 of them. His percentage has gone way up in this series. He had 10 rebounds. He tied a career high with 4 block shots.
Yeah,
but
where did that come from?
Some inexplicable turnovers too. But he's just such a. I mean, he's. He's kind of a barometer guy, I think, for how this team is going, too.
He's like Quentin Richardson was, but better.
Yeah, I think.
Q kind of was up and down. He was fully 3-point
based. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of like Jay Crowder's deal.
A little bit. But, I mean, Jay's
much better defender.
Much better defender and an emotional, spark plug for this team.
Yeah, I mean, 3 block shots in the first quarter and a half of a game, you would not expect that from Jay Crowder.
No, because they were challenging everything early in that game. Mike is in Gila Bend. He's up next here on Bickley and Murata. What's on your mind, Mike?
Hey, guys. First thing I was thinking about back, what if old school referees were involved? Your Mindy Rudolph, Earl Strom, Darryl Garrettson. Those guys.
Dick Bavetter!
My main question.
Dick Bavetta.
We're all in agreement, as Suns fans, that we hate David Stern for what he did with San Antonio.
Yeah.
Okay. But can't we give him a little credit now for preventing the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
No. Maybe a little. Maybe a little.
I mean... That's revisionist history at this point. I remember thinking in real time, wow, they're really stopping a trade from going through. And then they allowed a trade to the Lakers that fueled championships anyway. Just didn't make much sense to me. Who knows? Even if that trade went through, who's to say Chris Paul isn't here at this point of his career? Doubt he would still be with the Lakers since he's played on a handful of teams since then.
Yeah, but if he would have gone to the Lakers then and then they'd have won a couple of championships, he might have been he might have been there for 10 years. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe, maybe not.
And what does that do for his competitive fuel at age 36 if he had a couple of championships?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
Mike did make us think a little bit. Rick in Phoenix is up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how you doing? Appreciate you guys letting us call in on a Monday afternoon. Last time I was thinking, I was at game 6 of Chicago Bulls, Phoenix Suns, and when Chicago beat us and on our home floor, you could hear a pin drop in that arena. And it was like, what are we going to do now? Because the NBA Finals was done.
Mm-hmm.
Had that feeling again last night. Suns swept Denver. I'm so used to seeing a game twice a week. I'm like, what am I going to do for the next week?
That's funny.
But one last thing. This Valley deserves this kind of excitement with our sports teams. We don't get it often, but isn't it amazing how when your team is having success, how it just captures the emotion of the whole state and especially the city of Phoenix and lifts it up and everybody's excited and you're hearing all these comments on the radio and I just want this to continue. Maybe the Cardinals will do the same thing with what they've added. And that'll make you guys' job better than what it is.
Yeah, that's true. And a lot easier too, yeah. Rick. No doubt about that.
Again.
He brings up a good point though, you know, the rising tide bringing lifts all boats. Yeah. And you see the other teams really jumping on to what the Suns are doing, getting involved. I mean, the Cardinals were talking about it at OTAs last week when in their media sessions. I mean, Kyler Murray talked about it. Cliff Kingsbury talked about it. It is. And for what's happening with the Diamondbacks now, with the depths that they've reached competitively and with some not so great things happening in their front office with Mike Hazen. This is making people feel a lot better about, you know, we're not used to watching basketball on June 14th, even in normal years.
This is going to be very, very odd to have basically an entire week off to get ready for the Western Conference Finals. It's going to be different because you don't see that very often. In the NBA, second round sweeps are pretty rare.
It's true.
Yeah. And so I think there's going to be part of this Valley that's going to want to kind of, come on, let's fire this thing back up again. But this is the greatest thing that could happen to Chris Paul's health. And you can tell he looks pretty good now. This is going to help him get right back.
When he was on with TNT yesterday after the game, and he kind of chuckled when he said it, we're going to have some much-needed help, much-needed rest right now. So, yeah, you think about him first and foremost. I got time for a few more calls here. In this caller segment, 602-260-9870 is the phone number. Out to Queen Creek and Dustin, who's up next here on Bickley and Murata. Hey, Dustin.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
Man, we went from Rally in the Valley to Rock in the Rockies. We were at the game last night. I was just getting in from Sky Harbor Airport, and we killed it. It was electric there. So many Suns fans. I felt like when I left the game, we were in downtown Phoenix. Question, who are we going to take on, the Jazz or the Clippers?
Yeah, that's a
great
question. It really is. I would have said going into Game 3 that the Jazz look like they've got a better thing going. You never know with the Clippers. The Clippers just can find something on some random night and then roll with it for a little while. We'll obviously have a lot better idea after tonight.
Yeah, I mean, both series, I think, are very intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
To me, kind of poetically, This whole season has kind of felt like a Phoenix versus Utah kind of battle in the Western Conference, especially late in the season when the Suns were chasing that number one seed and Utah kept fighting them off. I think that would be a tremendous series. Obviously, the Suns would not have home court advantage in that series.
Yeah.
You look at the Clippers on the other side. I agree with you. I mean,
I'm not sure that's a bad thing.
I don't know either, but it's impossible not to be concerned about what you saw from the Clippers in the regular season because
I agree with that.
There was some dominating moments by the Clippers over the Suns, but I've also said during this postseason it's a fool's errand to go back and consider what happened in regular season matchups in today's NBA because you're dealing with players missing games and the level of intensity is not the same. You do have home court advantage against the Clippers. There's still a ton of cardboard cutouts at Staples Center for Clippers games.
Yep.
So I'm still not to a point where I feel comfortable saying one or the other. But, you know, the attitude that I had going into the first round against the Lakers was, hey, bring on the Lakers. Play them now. Why not?
And you're right.
If you're that good,
I was wrong.
You can beat them. And I kind of feel that way about either
the Clippers?
One of those teams. About both of those teams. Like, you think they're, you know, they're looking ahead a little bit. You know, I know their fan bases are, and they're looking at what the Suns are doing, probably going, wow, that's a really good basketball
team. Yeah, I think after sweeping Denver, that it's put them on alert, no doubt about it.
Yep. Matt in Santan's been patient, hanging on the line. He's up next here on Bickley and Murata. Hey, Matt.
Oh, patient like Zen, fellas. I just got two quick comments. I'm happy to see the veteran leadership that Crowder and Paul have been displaying. When you are able to display how to stop the bleeding and employ the killer instinct to win when it matters the absolute most, when we haven't really had that mentality for the past 10 years, showing the young bucks on this team how to do that is invaluable. And second, if Jokic is the Joker, that means DeAndre Ayton is the Batman.
I like it, Matt. Out to a surprise. Scott is up next here on Bickley and Murata. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Longtime Suns fan, grown up in the Valley, saw the Suns fall to the Rockets a couple times when we had golden opportunities. I was actually in basic training when the whole Steve Nash, Robert Horry fiasco happened with the Spurs. It just always kind of felt like the basketball gods, the planets and stars, like would always align against us. And it's exciting this year to see that it's all coming together for us. And it seems like stuff's falling in place. And with the Kyrie Irving injury last night, that looked bad. And I think the Suns have a great opportunity to go all the way. And I'll listen to your guys' response offline. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Scott. I will say this. It's hard not to feel that way right now.
Yeah.
You know, with eight wins down of the 16 you need to win a championship, mm-hmm. but these things can turn on a dime. Chris Paul talked about it too.
No, it's true. We've learned that the hard way. We've seen both sides of it.
Look, yeah, we have, because you know that first series against the Lakers, full of twists and turns.
Yep.
And I said this on Friday, or maybe it was yesterday. I don't even know. I've been doing so much radio, I can't keep track of it anymore. But The Nugget series was a very straight line. No twists, no turns.
None.
It was, here we are, we're going to beat you, and there's nothing you can do about it. But that can change from series to series. I got time for one more call. Joey and Mesa, you got the last word here on Bickley and Murata. What's up, Joey?
Thank you. The next time Booker wants to stand up for a teammate, how about standing up instead of having Jokic back you right off the basketball court? Make a stand. You were moving backwards, buddy. And then in the series before, he pushes a guy in the air, the littlest guy on the team. Booker's a punk.
Come on, Joe.
All right, goodbye,
dude.
You
waited
goodbye.
To say
goodbye.
This.
Goodbye, goodbye. That's come on, man. Come on. Be better than that.
Do people have, you know, stuff to do during the day?
I don't know. Why anybody would want to bring negative energy to this?
He's obviously he's obviously
okay.
A troll.
Yeah.
Nikola Jokic weighs 300 pounds. Joey, if that is your real name. Devin Booker weighs about 200.
Uh-huh.
And Jokic was...
Devin Booker's a punk.
Yeah, he's the punk that's moving on to the Western Conference Finals, Joey. Thanks for that wisdom to really put a damper on what was a good segment of calls. Mission accomplished, troll. Coming up next,
well done, Vinny. We've
talked a lot about, we had some callers call up about the crowd, being in the crowd in Denver. The Suns are having a great postseason. The Suns fan base is having arguably a better postseason. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter, the home of the Suns' run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. The Suns sweep the Nuggets in four.
And the Suns are going to move on to the Western Conference Finals.
Bickley and Murata talk Suns Nuggets now.
And here's a steal by Booker, and the shot won't go. Rebound Bridges underneath, gets the ball to DeAndre Ayton for a wham, bam, slam. And you can tell this one bye-bye, baby. And the Suns are going to move on to the Western Conference Finals. They lead at 118-107.
Yeah, it has a little punctuation by DeAndre Ayton. And the reason why I played that is I think it came through clearer on the television broadcast than it did on the radio broadcast from Al McCoy there. But the roar of the crowd when DeAndre Ayton dunked that ball.
Yeah.
You would have thought if you were just had your eyes closed, you were listening to it, you would have thought that that was a Suns crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what?
It kind of was.
It was a Suns crowd. Yeah. It just happened to be located in Denver, Colorado. And I made this blanket statement, and I truly believe this. We have marveled from moment one of the energy the Suns fan base has brought. Now, I don't know what kind of buy-in they had in getting to L.A. I'm sure there was some Suns fans there. There was a lot of Lakers fans present in Phoenix for Game 1. But in this series in Denver, that was amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, you couldn't hear a Denver Nuggets fan in the two games in Phoenix. And you could barely hear a Denver Nuggets fan in the two games in Denver.
I know,
the way
funny.
The Suns fans traveled and everything that's gone into this, the support at the airport, I mean,
yeah.
it's
well,
been remarkable.
Let's not bury the lead. How about the dude who pummeled that one Nuggets fan? Now, listen, nobody likes to glorify violence, but that was another moment of, yeah, you know, that kind of thing.
Look, it's one thing, and I agree with you. It's still not ideal. The Nuggets fan had it coming. Trying
he
to
did.
Sucker
he
punch.
He swung first, and it was a sucker punch.
The Suns fan.
And dude had the higher ground.
But I've never, ever seen a fight video like that, whether it's a hockey game, football game, baseball game, basketball game, where one of the participants looked so damn cool and in control.
Listen, there have been two incidents that sort of reconfirm the idea that it's best not to pick fights with people because you just don't know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
That dude, that Padres fan in Denver, remember when he knocked that dude out cold?
So you're saying this is a Denver tradition, fans getting knocked out of their own ballpark.
I did not even put those two together. Yeah. Think about that. Yeah, that video was funny. It instilled pride locally because this is everything that we're not. Generally, that is what happens to us at our stadiums.
Yes. And again, it wasn't ideal, but it was.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was symbolic. Kind of. I mean, Nicole. I said this on another show. Nikola Jokic. With that triple-double,
mm-hmm.
was kind of like that half-cocked attempt at a sucker punch that the Nuggets fan threw at the Suns fan.
Yeah.
They just kind of reacted, and no, the Suns reacted by saying, okay, there's your triple-double, there's your sucker punch, Suns in four.
Yeah.
That guy tries to punch the Suns fan, he says, no, Suns in four.
And that was what was so funny. The very end of it, after all that violence, he just looks at Suns in four. Suns in four. Two, Utah. Two. It was really classic. And you know what? I felt this way once with the Cardinals when their fans started to travel really well.
Mm-hmm.
It really hits here because we're used to being the recipients of that stuff. And to see our fans go elsewhere because they feel that much pride in the team, that's pretty special.
There was the shot on TNT when Chris Paul was putting the headset on, and Kevin Harlan said, there are a lot of Suns fans here. And the cameras kind of panned out and gave a real panoramic shot of the lower level. And it was breathtaking to see that many Suns fans who had made the trip. And I don't know. Maybe some of them live in Denver. I don't know.
Yeah.
That was...
It's not that far of a drive, so I bet you a lot of people just kind of got in a car and took off.
I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
No, I know.
And, you know, you think the energy has been great in the first two rounds at Phoenix Suns Arena, Western Conference Finals, and we all had that question, too, and it was quickly answered by the Suns fan base. All right, it's not the Lakers, it's the Nuggets. The level of hatred for the Nuggets is not that great. How does the Suns fans react? Well, they cranked up the energy to a new degree. Whether it's the Jazz or the Clippers, I expect another increase in energy. It's been a tremendous, long overdue run for a lot of faithful Suns fans.
Yeah, listen, I think if it's the Suns and the Jazz, that series is going to be defined by home court energy. I still prefer that series, personally, because I think the Suns can go in there and take one of those first two games, and it's not a bad way to me to get into the series rather than to have home court advantage and have to defend it. But to me, it's more matchup-based. But we'll see.
Yeah, I think the Suns have the depth advantage there. You know, Gobert against Ayton, that would be a good battle. We've seen them those two go at it. There's a lot of similarities between the two teams. You know, the Suns have Jay Crowder. The Jazz would counter with Royce O'Neal. The backcourts when fully healthy. I don't know, evenly matched. Chris Paul and Devin Booker against Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley. If there's a gap, it's not that big of a gap. I mean, Conley's health is still in question, obviously. I think it would be a win. I think either one of those series is winnable.
I agree. I like the Suns' chances in both. But I kind of agree with what you said earlier. The Jazz and the Suns seem to have been on a collision course all season long.
Well,
it makes sense that they would meet.
And even before the Suns had elevated to playoff status, I mean, the last few years, this online bickering between Utah fans and Phoenix fans over the Donovan Mitchell-Devin Booker question, it's been heated.
Yeah.
It's been intense. It's been filled with hatred on both sides. Uh-huh. That might be fun. It might not be fun to see what transpires in that matchup.
Right.
Yeah, but that's the position, and I've been hesitant to answer that question, and I still don't have a clear-cut answer on who I'd like to see the Suns play. But I like the attitude as well. You know, a lot of the players in Suns uniforms right now feel it's about them. Chris Paul was asked about, you know, what is the ceiling of this team?
We're just going to keep playing hard. You know, you never know what the future holds. We're going to keep playing hard. Now we're going to get some rest, some much-needed rest. But it's special, man. And these fans, we thank y'all so much, man. Seriously. Got my moms and pops here, my older brother. It's all love.
Listen to that.
Yeah. Is that unbelievable? I know. It's great.
And I know you saw a lot of the footage from the airport, too, man. It's just
it's so cool.
Jay Crowder, we mentioned him, and he had a big smile on his face afterwards. This is another element that people haven't talked about. Jay Crowder mentioned it earlier in the postseason, but he mentioned it again about the reaction he got from around the league when he opted to sign a 3-year deal with the Phoenix Suns in free agency.
I look like a genius, huh? I know I look like a genius a little bit with my decision. When I made the decision, you should have saw how many text messages I got. Like, what am I doing? Why are you going to Phoenix? They haven't made the playoffs in 10 years. I just feel like I just knew what type of group these guys were. I felt like they were hungry. They wanted to do some special things, and I just wanted to be a part of it. And I honestly feel like it's all coming together for not only myself, but for our team and for our organization, because everybody on the same page. We're all fighting for the same goal. I mean, you got a lot of selfish guys on our team, and you see how we play each and every night. We play for one another, and it's definitely beneficial for us to win games, especially in the postseason. So the bubble, I'm happy it happened, obviously, especially for this group to just have some type of taste of success leading up into this year. So to keep us going, I feel like it's going to be beneficial for us to just stay together and be collective, locked in, and take it one game at a time.
Look, and with Chris Paul signing off basically on that trade to come to Phoenix, I'm sure he got a lot of that reaction that Jay Crowder was talking about, too. And somebody had retweeted this last night from November 10th. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out, the Oklahoma City Thunder and Phoenix Suns are engaged in talks on a Chris Paul trade. That was quote tweeted by Sam Quinn of CBSSports.com, their NBA writer. And I hadn't seen this tweet until yesterday. He tweeted back in November, "I hate this for everybody. We're seriously wasting Chris Paul's last chance at a ring on Robert Sarver's dumb quest for an 8 seed. Phoenix is punting away the cap flexibility it needs to build a sustainable contender on a 2-year window. This is stupid for everybody." No, it's not.
No. No, it's anything but. And I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of that. But what I do like is that the Suns fans who were really against Chris Paul, they all seem to own it.
Oh, yeah.
None of them are running from it.
They owned it pretty quick, too.
Yeah,
it wasn't like, hey, show me something in the playoffs.
Right.
It took about a month, I think, for most to say, okay.
My bad.
He's different.
Didn't know.
Yeah.
Didn't quite get the depth of his game, but now I do.
Yeah. Coming up next, the Suns' backcourt needed to dominate an overmatched Denver group. They did exactly that. We'll get into that matchup and more next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter, the home of the Suns' run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. The Suns sweep the Nuggets in four.
And the Suns are going to move on to the Western Conference Finals.
Bickley and Murata talk Suns Nuggets now.
It's hard, you know, to just narrow it down on, you know, how he's helped me. You know, you can go on the court, off the court, but, you know, what most comes to my mind at first is just, you know, how he carries himself as, you know, a true veteran in this league and a true professional. I said it after last game, just, you know, his approach to the game, the way he trains, the way he takes care of his body, his diet, his sleep regimen. So, you know, there's many things, there's many bits and pieces that, you know, he'll come to me and talk about a lot, but, you know, I just sit back and observe him at the same time and learn that way, you know. So I'm not the only person that would be saying this. I'm sure you can ask anybody on this team, you know, how has Chris, you know, developed your game? And, you know, everybody's going to have a lengthy answer because he cares. He cares about each and every individual, and, you know, he'll let you know when he sees something that can better you.
Devin Booker, after eliminating the Denver Nuggets, talking about his teammate Chris Paul, the influence that he's had on the team in year one. I don't want to focus on Chris Paul. I don't want to focus on Devin Booker. I think we should focus on the combination of those two, just how brilliant they were in this series. And I think the level of play in the first series against the Lakers was obviously compromised with Chris Paul being greatly affected by the shoulder injury. But how great does it feel to be able to say that that's a thing of the past, that there's no worries?
Is it?
Did you see it? Could it not be?
I hope it is.
37 points.
Yeah, no, I know.
14 of 19. He's fine.
He's hit the deck a couple of times and been okay.
And I don't know if you saw it, Bick. After he did his TNT interview, they had the cameras follow him into the tunnel. And then he signed a jersey. And then he came back out. And there was a woman who's been working with Chris Paul and the training staff who was wearing an orange hoodie. And Chris Paul came out and gave her a big hug, and you could hear him say, "I appreciate you for getting me right."
Wow. Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah. This is sort of a great lesson and sort of a great symbolic moment, because when Chris Paul got injured in Game 1, it felt like every worst nightmare of ours recurring and happening again at the worst time. To get through it is a very powerful symbol.
Yes.
If you ask me.
And I also think on the flip side of it, and I don't know how this ends for the Suns. I mean, I certainly have hopes and designs on how this ends for the Suns. But that might, if it ends the way we're all hoping it ends, that game one failure by the Lakers to fully take advantage of Chris Paul's condition, they had a chance to go back to L.A. up 2-0.
Yeah.
And they missed it.
Yeah, they did. That's a great point. They did miss
it. And so big credit to everybody else who kind of covered for Chris Paul. And the fact that he played 36 minutes in that condition is still unbelievable to me.
I know how it's going to end. It's going to end with Vinny Joe championship ring. How about that?
I'll settle for a T-shirt.
Now, come on, man. PA announcers have to get rings. That would be something, dude. Mm-hmm. If you started wearing bling around town, oh, man.
Yeah, because I'm a bling kind of guy.
Well, you would be then, and nobody would blame you.
And the development of Devin Booker, I mean, what he did yesterday, 11 of 25, 10 of 11 from the free throw line, another double-digit rebounding game, 34 and 11, and the level of maturity that he's developed offensively.
Yeah.
47 points in one closeout game and 34 in the next. Those are his first two closeout games as an NBA playoff performer. We don't have to have these discussions. Thank goodness we don't have to have these discussions about Devin Booker.
No, and the fact that along the way, the supporting cast and the balance that they've showed, it's all coming together. One of the biggest stories with this team prior to yesterday was the double-digit scoring from everybody in the starting lineup. Almost happened again yesterday for the third consecutive game. Yesterday, though, was the Chris Paul-Devin Booker combo platter that we once thought was going to be their playoff recipe. And so it's really become pick your poison with this basketball team.
Well, I didn't know if it had to come from a scoring standpoint, Bick, but you know, going into this series, when you consider that for the first three games of this series, Michael Malone rolled out Austin Rivers and Facundo Campazzo as the backcourt. They didn't have Will Barton in game one. Monte Morris was non-existent in the first two games in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
That was a matchup that you didn't have to be a basketball savant to realize, hey, the Suns need to take advantage of that. Not only did they take advantage of it, the trio of Chris Paul and Devin Booker alone, or the duo, they combined for 203 points in the series. If you take the top four guards for Denver in the series, they combined for 154.
Yeah.
That's not even adding in Cameron Payne's 27
Yeah,
points.
Like you said, you knew going in that was a big advantage point for the Phoenix Suns. It turned out to be the case. I said after Friday night's game, I was a little worried that maybe this is coming too easy for this basketball team, that they're going to go up against another team, and this is my viewpoint Friday night after game three, that they might go up against a team that has been playing real tough competitive, hard-nosed basketball games right down to the wire. The fact that the Suns swept the Nuggets makes that fear in me go away.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the rest that they're going to get is far much more important to me than any kind of hardness or callous that they could get from playing tough games, close games down the stretch. So it's all good. They're in a great shape. They're in a great position right now to pull this off.
Yeah, they are, and a lot of it has to do with the focus that this team has. Jay Crowder talked about how impressed he is with how locked in he and his teammates are at this point.
I mean, it's very impressive how locked in we are as a unit. I mean, all five guys on the court are on the same page at all times, and I think that's key. We have great leadership. We have great coaching who's putting us in position to succeed right now. And I think guys are doing a good job of just doing their work early, studying what they need to study, and come out being prepared each and every game. And that's all you can ask from our, especially our young guys who this is their first time being in the playoffs. So I definitely feel like we're connected as a group, and it shows, especially when the game gets tight. We have full faith in one another to make the right play. I mean, I think we're just playing the right way and playing free, from one another.
Good way to put it. They're playing the right way.
Yeah.
And again, halfway there.
The selflessness that they're playing with is ideal. The teamwork, the camaraderie, the fact that they just feel it. They just look like a team that's on a mission now. And they look like a handful to deal with. And it's coming at a great time in the Valley. We've waited a long time for this, Vinny. Long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, 10 years ago seems like 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
that's how deep the depths were in that time frame for a lot of it.
No, it's true.
2 years removed from winning 19 games. They're on a quest to win 16 games in the postseason this year.
Yeah, and you wonder why Suns fans are going so crazy. That's why. I mean, all you have to do is look in the rearview mirror to the Suns fans who've been engaged over the past 10 years, and you realize, this is why they're reacting the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
This hasn't just been a pandemic in the making. This has been 10 years in the making.
Yeah, absolutely. We are halfway through on this big Monday in Phoenix Suns land. Bick's got your blast net. You sure we got your blast net?
We're going to try, Vinny.
You got this, man. Straight ahead, it's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns playoff coverage continues with Bickley.